Again, I think it's a wonderful thing people come to listen to a shir in halacha. It's a tremendous come to hear, listen to a shir in halacha, to want to upgrade a person's observance of the mitzvahs, observance of halacha. It's a tremendous thing. Specifically when it comes to tefillah, and specifically comes to tefillah of women, that the power of tefillah historically in Klal Yisrael, there's been tremendous power of tefillah which the women have used. I just want to start with a story. I heard from one of my Rebbeim's wives. So of course, that she's her father was one of the Rashivas in Tel Yeshiva in Europe, and there's a story which she heard from her father. She says, you know, one time a woman really got the best of me, quote unquote. Sad story. There was a young man in the yeshiva who was far away from home and became ill, and they were debating whether they would send the message to the mother or not. It was quite far away. She wouldn't be able to come. And he couldn't go home in his state. So just to send her this message to worry her, they felt it wasn't proper to send the message to worry her. What are we accomplishing sending her this message? At the end, the illness took a turn for the worse, and the young man passed away. So the woman came to the city of Tells, finally got the message to her. She came, you know, it took a period of time, and she went to the Rosh Hashiva, and she complained. He says, "You should have told me." He says, "Because the power of the tefillahs of a mother for her child, there's nothing like that. And maybe if I had known, I couldn't have saved his life through my tefillahs." And this is what she told him, and Rosh Hashiva said she was right. That he was wrong with what he had done, he should have informed her. They made a calculation, it was the wrong calculation. The power of tefillah, it's a tremendous thing, the power of tefillah. The challenge which we have in the world of tefillah for women is the Gemara clearly says that the mitzvah of tefillah applies to women the same way it applies to men. And the Gemara says, and why is that so? Because tefillah is for rachamim, it's for mercy, and men need mercy, women don't need mercy. Everybody needs mercy, everybody needs mercy. I can try, I need one chapter for myself also.
Guys, did you get preferred tefillah options for women? We have more.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. That's clear in the Gemara. That's clear in the Gemara that there is a mitzvah tefillah applying to women also, and that's clearly decided in halakha, it's codified in halakha, that the mitzvah tefillah, mitzvah davening applies to women also. That's what's clear in halakha. After that, everything gets very, very, very unclear. What does that mean, the mitzvah tefillah applies to women? That means once a day, that means twice a day, that means Shemoneh Esrei, that means Shema, that means saying a bracha. What does it mean? That's the first question which we really need to clarify. And the second question is, okay, well, if I have a limited amount of time, what is my order of preference that I'm supposed to be doing? What's called a limited amount of time? How much am I supposed to push myself to try and accomplish this? So these are some of the issues which you want to try and touch on tonight. I'm worried very much that I'm going to get a chazaka of not being able to finish my shurim within a lot of time. That being parenthetical, the Table Sink Part 3 has to be done. I'm actually contemplating making a tape of it and just putting it out there for people to listen to, because it's a short, I think it's a short shiur. So eventually that will happen. We'll get that out there, the last part. Okay, so those are the questions which we're going to try and touch on tonight. So if you look at the page where it says mitzvahs and halachos to be discussed, I want to point out that we're discussing the following mitzvahs, which are going to be dealt with tonight. So page one is the mitzvahs. There's a little bit of space over there if you want to take notes. There's room to take notes. On the first page of that sheet, it says that the first mitzvah, there's a mitzvah tefillah b'chol yom. The Rambam says that midaraisa, there's a mitzvah for a person to daven once every day. There's a mitzvah deraisa for a person to daven once every day. And the definition of davening means, on a Torah level, means that you said something. You know, it doesn't mean Shemoneh Esrei. It means some act of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be done every day. That's a mitzvah deraisa according to the Rambam. This mitzvah applies according to the way the Magen Rambam understands. Others understand this would apply to men and women equally. Okay, so So the mitzvah tefillah b'chol yom is a mitzvah tefillah that says ulav de b'chol levavkem. A person should, and the Chazal said it means referring to tefillah. You should serve Kadosh Baruch Hu with your heart. That's referring to tefillah. That applies to men and women. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ramban does not see there's a mitzvah deraisa to daven every single day. There is a mitzvah derabbanan to daven shmon esrei, which is a derabbanan, and that's the Mishnah in which says that it applies to men and women equally. That's referring to Shmon Esrei. The Amidat Tzitzfilah. Okay. There is a third mitzvah.
So just a minute, Shmon Esrei b'Shacharit, Mincha or Arvit?
We'll talk about that. We'll get to that. I'm sorry, I know women are very passionate. They want to know, what do we do? You know, we'll get to that. I promise we'll get to that. What do we do? But we'll get to that. I want to touch what we're going to be talking about tonight. The third mitzvah is there's a mitzvah of tefillah be'eis tzara. A person has a difficulty, there's a mitzvah to daven. That, according to both the Rambam and the Ramban, is the Raisa. At the time where a person has a need, there's a mitzvah to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that actually can be quite often. The definition of need is not very clear. How much of a need is called a need, which gives you a mitzvah of tefillah. So theoretically, a person could do the mitzvah of davening, the Raisa, many times in a day. Right? I once heard from a rabbi who was giving a shir. He says that he does some of his best davening. He's a rabbi, he's also a businessman by the negotiating table. Russian, please let him take this deal. Right? That's a mitzvah deraisa to daven. If he felt that's very important to him, there might be a mitzvah deraisa to daven to Hashem to help him out in that situation. So any opportunity which we have, person has a need, my child has an issue, a person taking a medication, any of these things would be a mitzvah to daven. That's actually brought down on halacha. Before a person takes a medication or does any type of refuah, there's a tefillah you say to Kadosh Baruch Hu that this, what I'm doing right now, should be successful. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives refuah. And that's brought down on Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah there says it means anything which you need during the day. It's not necessarily limited to refuah. Anything a person needs during the day, there's a mitzvah to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the third mitzvah. And that might be the Raisa. Okay, the fourth mitzvah which we're going to touch on today is called Yichud Hashem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. There's a mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. Hashem is one. That applies to men and women equally. So there's a mitzvah to say Shema and accept the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon oneself. Okay. The fifth one is Kabbalah Zomach HaShemayim, that we accept that we're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those two, Yichud Hashem and Kabbalah Zomach HaShemayim, might be the same, might be different. That seems to be a discussion. So when we accept upon ourselves the kingship of Hashem when we say the pasuk of Shema. The sixth is Schiras Yisias Mitzrayim. We mentioned that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim by day and by night. There are many pasukim which hold that women have the mitzvah of remembering the Schiras Yisias Mitzrayim by day and by night. Many pasukim hold that women have that mitzvah by day and by night to remember. So you say the last paragraph of Shema mentions that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and you say that in the morning, and you should also say a pasuk like that in the evening, even though you don't have a maariv. But there are many pasukim which hold a woman has to say that pasuk.
Which pasuk?
And yeah, Hashem Elokeichem, right? Mitzrayim, and Hashem Elokeichem, or any pasuk really, which would include the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And the last thing is there's the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah. The Ramban holds Birchas HaTorah as deraisa. There's a mitzvah deraisa to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us the Torah before we learned Torah. And it's possible in Shulchan Aruch that women are chayav to say Birchas HaTorah. To give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we learn the Baruch Hashem's Torah. So those are the seven mitzvahs which we're going to touch on tonight. Okay, so let's go back. We have that introduction. Let's go back. So we said that the first issue is there's clearly a mitzvah for a woman to daven every day. What does that mean? What does that mean? So if you look at the other page, so the discussion is fascinating. Let me finish my paragraph before you get nervous. I promise you, don't get nervous. Let me finish my paragraph. So the Mishabura Paskins that it means Shmoneh Esrei twice a day. Mishabura Paskins it means Shmoneh Esrei twice a day. What's fascinating is that the Chofetz Chaim's son, Mishabura Chofetz Chaim, writes that their mother never davened Shmoneh Esrei, that he can remember. So, okay, that's interesting. If the Mishabura himself passes twice a day Shmoneh Esrei, and our father, Zichron Livracha, the Chofetz Chaim, Mishabura, told our mother she should not daven Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, so how do you digest that? So the point is that even though a woman is chayav in the midst of tefillah, there is a possibility that the which is introduced that we can fulfill it with a lesser fulfillment of that in a situation where it's difficult for a woman to find time to daven. A woman who's busy with children, a woman's busy with her husband, a woman's busy with children, husband, and working, all of the above, etc. You combine all the things together, it's going to be difficult for a woman to find time to be able to daven. Actually, three rationales are presented for this concept. The three are, number one is that the same way that there's a clear halacha, that a person taking care of a person who's ill does not have to daven. So taking care of little children is the equivalent of taking care of somebody who's ill. The point is they have needs and you have to take care of those needs. It's clear in halacha that a person in that situation does not need to daven. That's number one. Number two, the person, the woman enters into certain obligations in her marriage to her husband, which sometimes davening, one of the cases they talk about, so the husband's coming home and he wants to go off to work, etc. And his wife, said, well, take care of the kids and take care of lunch yourself. I got to go daven. Right? Well, she has responsibilities with her husband, which cannot be, those would override her mitzvah of tefillah in that situation. And the third one is, that's also clear in halacha, a person who can't focus, can't concentrate, does not have to daven. Now, many women will tell you, women are better at this than men, the multitasking issue, but it's very hard to focus sometimes when you have one kid crying, and one kid screaming, and one kid sick, and one kid, and your husband wants this, and you're trying to get out the door to go to work, so it's hard to concentrate. I think you can all relate to that. So the person say, even though by men, the psak is we should daven anyway, but by women, it could be possible that this is they only undertook to do it in a situation where they're able to focus. So we combine that it's possible you can fulfill the obligation of tefillah with a smaller amount. So what is that smaller amount, and that you can fulfill the obligation of tefillah with? So the Rambam says that the definition of tefillah has three parts to it. It has to be a request from Hashem. You have to ask Hashem for something. That is the essence of tefillah, is asking something from Hashem. Before you ask, you should praise Hashem. After you ask, you should thank. So the definition of the minimal definition of tefillah has to have these three components in it. It has to have praise, it has to have a request, and it has to have a thank you at the end. Now, Birchas HaTorah, we say, Asher Kedoshanu Mitzvah B'Tzivonu La'asek B'Divrei Torah. That's a praise to Hashem. Hashem did something special for Klal Yisrael. V'Harav Noah, please Hashem, make the words of Torah sweet. That's a request. And then at the end, Baruch HaTorah Hashem, they say, Torah, thank you Hashem, you gave us the Torah. So with Birchas HaTorah, a person would fulfill the obligation, the Raisa, of Tefillah. So one gets up in the morning, and she says, Birchas HaTorah, she's fulfilled her obligation of davening. I do want to point out that a person who's in that situation, who's going to be using that because of their situation, they should have in mind, if they can remember, they should have in mind, I want to be yotze my tefillah with this. So this will be your minimal tefillah that you're going to be doing for the day. And according to this opinion, you do not need to daven anything else according to the rest of the day. And there are some poskim who suggest maybe a different tefillah, which is after Birchas HaShachar, we say, Hamar B'Shenem Einoy, Uslamo Me'af HaPoy. So that's, again, it's a praise to Hashem. He wrote some of Fanecha, Hashem, please, Shetagalim Sarasekha, that we go through that whole paragraph. And at the end we say, Hagamah Chasadim Tamil Yisrael, Hashem, thank you that you give special chesed to Klal Yisrael. So again, we have the three components, and maybe that's a more all-encompassing tefillah to bakasha. It's a more, as opposed to a very specific bakasha, it's a more all-encompassing bakasha. So a woman would say that, would fulfill her obligation of the minimal obligation of tefillah. Rav Shlomo Zalman took it a step further. If you're really, really busy, Moida ani lefanecha, Moida ani, he says you say Moida, not Moida, Moida ani lefanecha, right? So that point in time, you've said thank you and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, right afterwards, say, Bershon, please, I should make it through the day sane. You know, some bakasha. And you've got your three components of tefillah. You have praise, you have thank you, and you have bakasha. You've done it in 30 seconds or flat, and now you can start your day.
Yes. You all have to be together.
You should be together. So we have this option on the table, and then a person can use that option. Yes?
Is it better to just rely on Moda Ani if you know you're going to be, or like, can I say brachos while like feeding the baby?
You know, it's better to get the first thing you can get in. The first thing you can get in, you should, and we point out you should have intent. You want to fill your mitzvah with this. So you should try and have in mind that Modani maybe it's hard to have in mind because you just got out of bed, right? But if you could, you would have in mind this way. You know, you've at least davened today, right? Whatever you do later on, we'll talk about as we go through the outer preference. I realize later on I have more time. Now what should I do? So that's the next question. I've done my minimal amount.
But if you did Modani as your minimal amount, should you still daven brachos while feeding babies, or is that under can't concentrate, so don't bother doing?
You know, you know what? Give me a minute. Okay. Yes.
If you're using Moda Ani as whatever, should you wash first? Because it's like you haven't washed, you haven't really said anything.
That's a good question. It's a good question. There is a lachem until the time before tefillah. Yes. That's just an interesting question.
So okay. If you were to use that, you should wash your hands first.
Yes, I think so. Okay. Now, so since most the majority of poskim feel that the Iker Mitzvah is Shmoneh Esrei, not just this Bakasha. Therefore, if a person has an opportunity later on in the day to daven Shmoneh Esrei, they should daven Shmoneh Esrei.
But so, you're trying to say Shacharit is more important than Mincha and Maariv?
No, Maariv not. We don't, women, minig of women is not to daven Maariv, but Shacharit and Mincha are equal. So if a person can get in both, they should get in both. If a person can get in one, they should get in one. Now, I don't mean to say this. I don't mean to say the following. It's been a really crazy day, and she finally has 15 minutes to relax. And I said, okay, 15 minutes, I've got to go daven. You know, okay, if you need those 15 minutes to relax and make it through the rest of the day, so your yotzer are ready. You know, so a little bit is going to be subjective. You know, each person will have to look at their day, and it might be different from day to day or from week to week. One week the kids are out and they're functioning normally and nobody's sick and everything is great. So that week, you'll daven Shmoneh Esrei. You know, and next week, it's been crazy and, you know, I can't get my head together. So that week, I won't daven Shmoneh Esrei. A person goes away with their husband for a vacation, you know, leaves their kids by the parents, they should daven Shmoneh Esrei. You know, it's not, I'm a Shmoneh Esrei daver. I'm a not Shmoneh Esrei daven, or, you know, I label myself and I walk around with this label. It's not the pshat. Each day is different. Now, again, I don't want to make you meshuga. The point is, again, if a person sees the day is really crazy, and I can't. I have a few minutes, and I want to pick up the phone and call my friend and just relax and talk a little bit, or take a coffee, or whatever it is, just, or shut my eyes even, you know. So shut your eyes. You know, if that's what you're holding, I would tell you to shut your eyes, don't dab. You've been yotzei your minimal tefillah by Shmoneh Esrei and by brachos, and that's enough. And even if you, again, but you should keep in mind that the majority of poskim say you should be davening Shmoneh Esrei. So if you can, sometime in the day, you know, all of a sudden 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I have a time slot. I got a few minutes. Shmoneh Esrei takes 5 minutes. So nothing before, nothing afterwards. Say Shmoneh Esrei and say and be yotzei with that.
What if you're in that where in between time where you're not chakras, you're not mincha, that's that. In between time.
Okay. So, Shacharis goes till Chatzos. Women can rely on the opinion that Shacharis goes until Chatzos.
I was told that it's till 11 o'clock, if not...
Right, so you can rely...
11 a.m., not p.m.
I understand. You can rely on the opinion. It's clear in a law the chakras can be set until chatzos, until halfway through the day. It's preferred to say it earlier, but a person who couldn't say it earlier can say it till chatzos. There is a half an hour time after chakras ends before mincha starts. So if you're mazel, then you get that half an hour, so you get that half an hour, right? So at that point in time, I would tell you, enjoy your coffee. Okay.
Really? Don't stop when that's right if you have that half hour.
That happened because it's not chakras time, it's not mincha time.
Why can't it just be a davar?
You can make it a davar, but we're not b'chuyim to. I mean, the mitzvah was either to daven Shmoneh Esrei as instituted. Okay, now, together with that, so a person is able to say, you know what, I can get Shmoneh Esrei in the morning, I can find 5 minutes for Shmoneh Esrei. Yes?
What would, like, let's say, a lunch break at work be considered? Like, you don't have your children with you then?
Again, depends on the person. You know, the person's been, you know, just, they're panting, you know, so, so if you have a few minutes to take a break and relax, so take a break and relax. Person says, you know what, I can give myself 5 minutes of Damash Venezra, you know, it's going to be subjective, it's going to change from day to day, you know, which is not the greatest thing to tell you, because that's really going to drive you crazy, you know, do I have to, don't I have to, should I have to, you know, like, you know, the whole day, should I, you know, I understand the problem, but the answer is, it is somewhat subjective, and the person has to know themselves, but I am stressing, don't overtax yourself, because there is what to rely on, you know, you did it already, you did daven that morning. Okay, so the person, let's say a person is able to get Shmoneh Esrei in. So the Mishnah Berurah says the next thing is the person should be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. I got 6 minutes instead of 5 minutes. I should say the first pasuk of Shema and the pasuk and the phrase of Baruch Shem Kvam Malchus Zayla Lom Boy. So I say the first pasuk of Shema and Baruch Shem. I have time for that. Good. I realize I have another minute, another 2 minutes. So I should say the last paragraph of Shema. You can take these home and put them up in your fridge.
In that order, though, meaning like...
This is the order of preference.
No, so I do Shema Esrei, right? Then I do the first and last.
No, if you know before, you have more time.
Beforehand.
Right. Okay. If the preferred order is as the sitter presents it.
Okay.
Okay, but if I'm working with my clock...
If I'm working, right.
And I work with my clock and I said, you know, I got 5 minutes now, daven Shema Esrei. Worry about Shema later on. You should say Shema sometime during the day. You'll find, you know, a minute to say the first pasuk of Shema, and or Shem with a lot of kavana, right? Fine, just give yourself a half a minute to say the first pasuk of Shema at some point in your day, right? But again, if your time is limited, you only got 5 minutes on the clock, and that's it, you know. So Shmoneh Esrei would have preference, or if not even that, you would do all these other options. Okay, I realize I have 15 minutes. So 15 minutes gives me time to say the first pasuk of Shema. And the paragraph of Emes V'Yatziv, and Shmoneh Esrei. So I said the first pasuk of Shema and the Baruch Shem with the scarce. You see, it's Mitzrayim. It's in the last paragraph. Okay. And if Im Shaykh, if it's possible, with the whole brach of Emes V'Yatziv all the way through Gal Yisrael and Shmoneh Esrei. So if I can get that in, that'll be the next order of preference. If I can get in. I have time. I have 15 minutes. You know, the baby isn't getting up, and the baby is pretty regular. I got 15 minutes now. Let's go for it. Okay, so that's what I could get in. Yeah.
Is this time only until chatzos, or is this even if I have that half hour?
We'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry, when you said the last paragraph of Shema,
yeah.
Was that including all? Is that including all three? They have to like
no.
All three?
It's the first pasuk,
okay.
And the last paragraph.
Okay.
With Baruch Shem.
First pasuk with Baruch Shem, and then Bayomer, and if possible, Emes V'Yatziv to Gal Yisrael and Shmoneh Esrei. So this is where you connect Geula with Tfilo, which is very, very, very important in Chazal. The Mor says that there was one time that one of the Meroim was able to, he felt connect Geula and Tfilo properly, and he didn't stop smiling the whole day. The Mor says that it's such a powerful thing to connect Geula to Tfilo. That it answers our tefillas, etc. So he was able to do that. Say Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael and Shmoneh Esrei properly right afterwards. He couldn't stop smiling the rest of the day. So it's a tremendous thing to get Gula together with tefillah if he could. Okay. Now sometime during the day, a woman has to say Baruch Hashem. starting from Asher Kishamat Sovitzuan last week with the Visero, the Harev Noah, and Baruch HaTashem Asher Baruch HaMonim, we call Amim, and the Sonat Sarasoi, Baruch HaTashem Asenat Sarah, and the Psukim afterwards, as written in the Siddur. What?
That's obligatory.
That's obligatory. That's Paschal.
And so it's Kol Hashem Malchus Shemayim.
Kol Hashem Shemayim is correct. It's nochen lelamin. It's proper to teach the women to make Kol Hashem Shemayim. That's the actual language.
You said the Psukim afterwards.
The Psukim afterwards.
Which
one? In the Siddur there is
after Nosin HaTorah,
then you berech Hacha, and then El Devorim and El Devorim. Those two pairs. If possible.
Including all kind of Shema you're supposed
no.
to say before.
No. Okay. Right on Tom Birchas Atar. So if I have more time and I can get in, I should get Birchas Atar sometime during the day, I should get that in. If I can get in the morning, the correct order will be Birchas Atar first. And I have 16 minutes now, okay? So I get Birchas Atar and first Pasuk of Shema, last paragraph of Shema, Emes V'yatziv and Shmon Esrei. 11 minutes on the clock, and I have 5 minutes to recover before my baby wakes up. Okay? Right? So that would be my next option. If I have more time, Birchas HaShachar. You just say Birchas HaShachar. Well, again, if you're on the clock, you should do it in the order the sitter has it. If you don't know, so that might mean like this. You might wake up in the morning and realize you got 5 minutes, everything is quiet, so Daven Shmoneh Esrei. Later on in the day, if I got more time, you pull out the sitter and you say, Birchas HaTar and Birchas HaShachar. It's not necessarily going to be, you know, depending on what your day looks like. If you know you have the time, you'll do it earlier. If you're not sure you're going to have the time, you might not have any more time today. You only have 5 minutes today. So, first thing you should do is make sure you say Shmoneh Esrei. Later on in the day, you realize you have some more time, you can pull out a sitter and say Brachos then. Brachos can be said the rest of the day. Birchas HaTar and Birchas HaShachar can be said the whole day. However, the paragraph of Elokein Neshama cannot be said once you've davened Shmoneh Esrei. Okay? So, if a person said Birchas HaShachar after Shmoneh Esrei, you would not say the brachas, the bracha Elokein Neshama till Hamachazir Neshama Stifkari Mesim, and you would not say Al Until Shudayim. Al Until you should say before you daven. Well, the reason why you're supposed to say it, because this way, if you wait till later, you're going to lose it. But if you don't say it, you don't say it. And a person has no time, they don't time.
You can say Elokein Neshama in the afternoon if you haven't said Shmoneh Esrei?
Correct.
But if you said Shmoneh Esrei, you can't say it?
Correct. Because the second paragraph of Shmoneh Esrei talks about Metchias HaMesim, basically approximates the same concept as Elokein Neshama. So you've already said it, basically. There's no reason to say it again. You spoke about Hashem, it's with Metchias HaMesim. That's basically the concept of the kind of Shema is the Bershom brought the Shema back to our group. So it's the same idea. There's no reason to say it twice. Once you said it already, you're yours. Yes?
Two questions. One is it wrong that the 5 minutes that you have in the beginning of the day seems like not like a focused 5 minutes, like there's kids running around, but you can say, Berachos HaShachar and Shema, but you don't feel like you have the focus for Shmoneh Esrei. Like I understand that you should say Shmoneh Esrei right away. And that takes precedence. But if you feel like you don't have the focus for Shmoneh Esrei, but if the kids are talking to you, you know, like you can take a break in between brachos and brachos HaShachar and answer them. For Shmoneh Esrei, I feel like, you know, it seems like it needs more. I'm sorry?
You're totally unavailable.
Yeah,
So that's a good question. So I would, if a person knows they're going to have time later on in the day to get Shmoneh Esrei and say brachos in the morning and say Shmoneh Esrei later on, no question. If all you're going to have is this 5 minutes the whole day, you should say Shmoneh Esrei. As long as you can focus for the first paragraph of Ovis. So your minimal focus has to be you can get through Ovis. You get through Ovis, you should say Shmoneh Esrei. You know as soon as you start Shmoneh Esrei that one of your kids is going to go. You know, we all right that happens, right? Right, the kid starts crying. That's because you're not available. That therefore, so you're not able to focus on the first paragraph. So then no Shmoneh Esrei.
Paragraph, you're supposed to really have the focus of
you're
sending the front of a Kaddish Baruch
Hu,
and but the rest of Shmoneh Esrei, as long as you're just saying it.
As long as you're saying it, you're going to say. You know, there's a famous piece from Reb Chaim Brisker, etc. The Chazanish says we don't paskel like that. Reb Chaim Brisker says if a person's mind, any moment that Shmoneh Esrei loses focus of the fact that we're standing in front of Hashem, you're not your Shmoneh Esrei, period. I've never been Yotzei Shon Esrei in my life, according to the Ruchaim Brisker. Most people have never been Yotzei Shon Esrei. Chazit says it's not correct what he's saying. The meaning is not like Ruchaim Brisker. There's clearly other poskim learn all the pshat and like Ruchaim Brisker. It's a famous Shikul Torah. It's a wonderful limud, but it's not lamaisa.
One other question, Rosh Hashanah. What about Tefillas Havineinu? Is that something? I've asked questions about this. I've heard that it's not done so much anymore.
You know, it's as far as I understand, it's not the preferred way to go. Mm-hmm. Right.
If it's a short Shmoneh Esrei,
it's probably better not to get involved in it. There are some posts who say you should do it. Okay. So now, just finishing off down the rest of the page. If you have more time, you should say Baruch Shomer Asher and Yishtabach. Even more time, you'll say all the Berachos Kriyas Shema with all of Shema. Even more time, you'll say all of Pesukah Dezim. Okay. So that's your order of preference.
And for that Kriyas Shema, do you skip the stuff you already said?
No,
because you're saying it. You know you're going to have time.
Well, if you know you're going to have time, so you said in order, so you're obviously not skipping anything. If you said Shema earlier, the first pasuk, no reason not to say it again.
Okay.
But if you said Berachos Emes Yatzi before, you do not say it again.
Okay, and the last paragraph,
Vayomer. You wouldn't have to say it again. Okay. So this is your preferred tefillah. Please take this home. You know, with your notes on it, stick it up on your fridge, and you know, so you have something to refer back to. Whatever angle say, I don't know. You have some type of reference. Yes.
I assume it's better to go for quality versus quantity. Meaning, if I know I have 5 minutes, I could say however long. I don't know. It depends on every day. It depends on how my Shmoneh Esrei goes. Like sometimes my Shmoneh Esreis don't take 5 minutes, and sometimes they do. Like, is it better to say, okay, I'm going to try and really focus and just say Shmoneh Esrei, or is it better to say, okay, I'm going to say all Shema and Shmoneh Esrei and whatever, and maybe I'll have focus and maybe I won't.
I don't know. I think quality has a mile over quantity. Okay, now, in the second page of the other sheet, there's some other halachas we want to touch on, just to clarify some points. Okay, so first is Zman Tefillah. So we mentioned already that the Tefillahs have to be said in the proper time. The Shacharis goes until Chatzos, preferably till earlier than that, but at least till Chatzos you can say Shacharis. You cannot say Berachos Kriyas Shema after 1/3 of the day, from sunrise to sunset. So sunrise is 6 o'clock in the morning, sunset is 6 o'clock at night, it's a 12-hour day, let's say. So after 4 hours, 1/3 is 4 hours, so after 10 o'clock in the morning, you cannot say Berachos Kriyas Shema anymore. You can say Shmoneh Esrei, but not Berachos Kriyas Shema. So in that situation, the person has, you know, the kids, everybody went away, finally things quieted down, take out your sitter, you would say in that situation, you have plenty of time, you would say, Birchus Atara, Birchus Ashachar, Psukkah Zimra, Asha Yishtabach, Psukkah Zimra Yishtabach, say the first pasuk of Shema, say the last paragraph of Shema, and Shmoneh Esrei. And you would skip all of the brachas. You would skip all of the brachas. Yes?
You can't say, like, Avraham, you're not saying, if you just, like, want to say it because you have the time, and isn't there, like, a. However, if you want to say it,
there is a sheet that says you can say it till Chatzos. It's a steer mishabrus. One mishabrus says yes, one mishabrus says no. So I think it's better not to get involved in it. If you have a meaning to do that, you can rely on that. Okay, there's a loch you can't eat before davening. Okay, so that applies. The loch applies to women as it applies to men. The Gemara says it's not proper. That, you know, Bershon says, they're very nice, Shkoyach. You know, now that you've had breakfast and lunch and so on, you say, Bershon, thank you very much, Shkoyach. Is that right? First thing you do is say hello to your Creator in the morning. Well, you did. You said Berachos Atara. You said Berachos Ashachar. You said Moed Ani. If you were Yotze Tefillah with that bakasha, you can eat afterwards. Now, so this is a question which comes up. It's a very common question. It applies, you know, you have girls in school. Very common questions. Girls, they daven in school. They eat breakfast at home. So what's supposed to happen now? So they should say some bracha at home beforehand. Some bracha and be yotze tefillah with that at home. Once you're yotze tefillah, you can eat afterwards. So they should say Berachos Atara at home and be yotze tefillah with Berachos Atara or something of that sort at home. Or say Moed Ani, be yotze with Moed Ani. And now you can eat because you've davened first. You've davened, you've yotze your mitzvah tefillah, you can eat afterwards. But a person should be aware in a situation where they... Now, if a person's ill, You know, there's no time to daven. Maida ani, forget it. The kid's screaming and kicking and crying. Middle of the night, he's been up four times already. You're not sure you woke up, you didn't wake up, you know. Right, and you're feeling sick yourself. So you're allowed to eat. You know, a person sick is allowed to eat, doesn't have to, without davening. It applies to men and women equally. But in the case of a person is not, you know, you're not ill yourself, it's just practically you're very, very busy, so there's a law you can't eat before davening. There is a law of kviyas makom during tefillah. A person should be kaveh makom where you daven. So preferably you should have a makom kavua in your house, if you can, where you stand when you're davening. If you're going to be, you'll be saying shmoneh esrei, you have a corner where you daven. It's preferable to keep that same spot all the time. There's a din of the tilsu dayim tefillah. Before we daven, if we're supposed to clear, yes.
Just for the eating before, how does that work on Shabbos?
How does it work on Shabbos? So Shabbos is a fascinating issue. So the halacha is like this. Why is it a fascinating issue? Because there's a halacha of Kiddush. Shabbos, before you can't eat till you make Kiddush. But there's no chi of Kiddush until it's time to eat. So what's called time to eat? So for a woman who davens, she's not time to eat yet because she's going to be davening. A woman who only says Moedani, her time to eat is after Maidani. So now she needs Kiddush. Right? You follow what I'm saying? Right? Repeat that again. Kiddush only applies once it's time to eat. What's called time to eat? We can't eat before davening. So a person who davens normally all of davening, so their time of davening is all of davening. So before that, they don't have Kiddush yet. But a person who is only usually yotze with a small amount, so Rambam says no. Rambam says, since the minhag is the husband and wife eat together, until the husband is ready to eat, it's not called zman achila for a woman. So she could eat, she could daven and then eat without kiddush.
Without making kiddush?
Without making kiddush, for mercy's sake, yes.
You can eat without making kiddush.
Yeah, because it's not...
Anything?
Till, what?
Wait, including his own time?
Yeah.
Then why are we always talking and not making kiddush?
Stop.
I don't have to make
kiddush. Stop. Rambam does say, if you've davened already,
Then you should
make kiddush because the minhag olam is.
But let's say you want
to. You're gonna say brachas hashachar.
Exactly.
And
you want to eat.
You want to eat.
And then you go to shul, and then you finish davening at shul.
Oh, you don't go to shul. No, your husband's coming home at
the
shul.
What?
Whatever.
No, I bring my kids to group.
You don't go to shul. You don't go to shul. That's not the point.
Wake up in the morning, say brachas hashachar, eat breakfast.
Without kiddush, then daven afterwards. Then you need to make kiddush.
Don't eat or drink between then when you daven. You make
kiddush. Correct.
Not even water.
Correct.
Can we just review that one more time?
Okay. Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. Mrs. Tissier, would you like to say that?
Great. Okay. No, the problem is if you make kiddush, then you also have to have enough
mezonos. Okay. So like this. Rambam says kiddush applies to meals. Till it's time to eat, there's no dinner kiddush. Now, normally, that's an irrelevant point for men. It's an irrelevant point. Why? Because you can't eat before davening. And after davening, you've finished davening. Now you have to. It's time for the meal, so you have to make kiddush. So it's never. But for a woman, you have a situation where a woman gets up. The kids are busy. She's busy with the kids. So she just says birchas haTorah. You have to feel it with that. But it's not time for a meal yet. Her husband isn't home yet. She's not going to eat without her husband. So Moshe says she's meshubit to her husband. She has responsibilities to her husband. She's going to wait for him. So it's not time of a suda yet for her. It's not meal time yet. So it's not meal time. There's no din of kiddush. But if you've davened, the full davening, then you have to make kiddush. So if you get up and you don't say birchas haTorah and you take care of your kids, essentially you want to pop something in your mouth, you can pop something in your mouth. You don't have to make kiddush.
Cereal, mezonos.
Yeah.
Even if you're not going to daven a full davening, like I always felt like if you're davening what for you is a full davening, then you have to make
kiddush. Right. So Rambam says no, unless it's your husband's finished. You know, you wake up at 9 o'clock, halavai, right? Right. And your husband davened at early minyan, so he finished musaf already, so it's time for the meal already.
I mean, if he's technically finished davening, but he's not going
to
come home.
No, so that's already called zman suda.
Oh, I was saying, because let's say they finished davening at like 10:30, but he's not
going to... No, so that's called Zman Suda already. Once he's theoretically finished davening...
We're talking like 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock in the morning. He didn't start davening yet, right? So it's not Zman Suda yet, so you can eat something.
I was told, don't daven, make kiddush and eat.
That's what he said.
But I'm just clarifying.
But
you should say
right,
something.
But that you should make kiddush, not that you shouldn't.
Right.
You could if you want, but I'm saying that the
Rambam says if you don't,
so it's interesting. According to Rambam, we're kind of a fascinating thing that if you would do it, it's a bracha, but it's a bracha, it's no problem. Mm-hmm. You're not yotze kiddush. So later on, when the, according to the Mishnah, later on, when it's time to make Kiddush, you can't eat.
Because you didn't daven?
Because you didn't eat Kiddush yet.
No, what's
that? That's not a valid Kiddush.
Why? Because you didn't daven.
Because not time Suda of Suda yet. Kiddush has to apply to Suda.
Even if you're going to eat like a lot of Mizonos?
Even like a lot of Mizonos, because it's not the time of a meal yet. Yeah, it's a fascinating psak for immersion. So, I'm comfortable with it.
He says, did I make Kiddush? And if I said, even if it's early, he would say...
Well, what early means, you know, he comes home at 10 o'clock. But that, after, once,
at 8 o'clock.
Once Shach is finished, it's called Zman... Once Mus is finished, it's called Zman Suda. Wow. Okay, and this is just a side point. This wasn't even... This is not even... This is a Hillel's Kiddush. It's not a Hillel's Tefillah. It's not Tefillah, it's Kiddush. Well, I'll give a share about Kiddush a different time. Yes.
If it's
anything
for Friday night.
Yes.
What?
I'll give a shiur about Kiddush a different time. Okay.
Between after benching and
till
your husband comes home?
Yes.
You
make your own Kiddush, that's for sure. No, according to Moshe, you don't have to. Your husband isn't home yet.
So wait, so I can take the soup and add the cake? Well, I can't add on
those. Let's change the story around. And Moshe says, imagine a husband will walk in the door and his wife's already home by the third course. Okay? She says, listen, you know, you're for slept the guy, you never come home in time anyway. I decided, forget it. Maybe I'll get it, someone bite it. Shalom bayis. Good. So it's not Zman Suda yet until your husband comes home. So that's what Suda is. Zochi of Kiddush. Everybody says, I didn't write the book. Okay, bite it. Okay.
It's the one time I thought I couldn't eat. It's good, you know.
Okay, so Lachim Matil Sedaim with Tefillah. We got lost over here somewhere. Matil Sedaim with Tefillah. A person has to wash their hands before they daven. That in person wakes up in the morning, you wash your hand three times. Three times each hand. That's take off the ruach raw. That's nothing to do with davening. That's not davening yet, necessarily, unless you're davening right away. But you know, theoretically, a person spends two more hours until you get around to davening. You should wash your hands again before you daven. And now that washing is one on each hand.
One.
I am not a Reform rabbi. Yes. I'm sorry?
You could have rings on or a band-aid on that, right? You know, it's not like you feel
that. It's not a chassis, there's no halacha chassis, right?
So is it's not as big of an issue if you don't have a cup with you, then you can just, or is that an issue?
It's a machloekus, so if you don't have a cup you should do it anyway. If you do have a cup, you should definitely use the cup. It's preferred to have a cup. Now that applies to mincha also. Sometimes during the day later on, it's now 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Time of daven mincha, you should wash your hands before you daven mincha. That applies to before chakras and mincha.
And you don't
anything. Make a bracha. You do not make a bracha. If a person, before they daven in the morning, they would say Al Tisadayim, but in the afternoon, not.
You're saying, though, in the morning, of course, when you wash three hands, three times.
Correct.
And then you don't get to daven yet. So, but when you do daven, then you're only doing it once?
Correct.
Okay. And then also before mincha?
Also once.
Just once.
Yeah. Okay. I'm skipping the next, so we'll get back to them, just, you know, because it's a little bit longer. Okay, you want to b'shas mitzvah, so we mentioned you should have intent. You should have in mind you're being yotze to the mitzvah tefillah. Whatever if you're saying with this little bracha here, that's my tefillah, should have that in mind, that's what I'm doing. Otherwise, it should be clear that I'm doing it for the purpose of tefillah. Okay, this is hafros b'shas ha-tefillah. There's interruptions and disturbances during davening, right? So you decided you got plenty of time, all of 7 minutes, and of course the baby wakes up. Right? So the baby starts crying, what do you do? Right? Similar to an essay. So the halacha is that if that's going to disturb your kavana, which woman will not disturb her kavana, you are allowed to take some steps to allow you to be able to focus better. You cannot talk during Shemoneh Esrei. You can't start talking to the baby. You can't do that. You can try and do hand motions to the baby. You can walk from where you are to where the baby is. Bidi Evan, you can pick up the baby, but you cannot talk. Now, that situation where you walk to where the baby is, it's preferred to go back to where you were before. If you can't, finish up Shemoneh Esrei there. You start up Shemoneh Esrei in your corner, the baby, you went to the, now to the crib and you're rubbing the baby and the baby's getting quiet over there. You're hoping Kalavai, the baby should go back to sleep for a few minutes. So you want to stay there, just finish our Shmonesu over there. Okay. So again, that's not preferred. If the situation is, it's another half a minute. I mean, I don't want to sound like a cruel person, but I think we've all had the reality we let our babies cry for half a minute. We're on the phone, the baby can cry for half a minute. Baby should cry, you have to be fair, right? So it's talking about 5 minutes, the baby's crying, that's difficult. You're talking about a half a minute, you'll focus. Yeah.
If you need to, can you go pick up the baby, go back to your original place and finish while holding the baby?
If you need, that's a real bitty evidence. If you need so that, you could do that, yes. But that's a real bitty evidence. It's preferred not to get involved in holding, because the problem with holding the baby is you're not supposed to hold anything when you're davening, because it disturbs your kavana, because you don't want to drop them. Yeah. Yes.
I recently had something. I had something baking in the oven and I had 10 minutes, and I knew that at a certain. I davened near the oven. And I knew that.
You dive into the oven?
No, I dive near the oven.
Near the oven, okay, fine.
I knew something was gonna be finished within the next 5 minutes, and it was on the timer. And I was wondering, could I have started Shmon Esper with knowing that this was gonna go, the timer was gonna go off, and I would just have to flip the switch and then continue,
If that's the time you have for Shmon Esrei, yes, you could do that. If you theoretically could do Shmon Esrei at a different time, you prefer not to. Yeah. Okay. Now, I do want to point out the following. Yes?
Just if you come on, let's say a toddler walks up to you and wants you to hold him.
Again, so it really depends. If you could get away without picking them up, you should. If you can't, you can pick them up.
What about a dirty diaper?
That's the next issue. Get to the next issue. Okay. So the next issue is Nakiyus Mokim B'Shas HaTfilah. It has to be clean. So, of course, the situation when you start davening and the baby walks up to you and he's got a dirty diaper. You can't daven, there's a dirty diaper there. So you can interrupt and you can change the diaper.
Without talking.
Can or have to?
Well, you can't continue davening because it's not clean. Now, just I want to discuss that halakha. If there's no smell, it's basically a dry diaper, whatever it is, not a really smelly diaper, and it's covered, so you're allowed to keep davening, even though there's a dirty diaper there. Dirty diaper is only a problem if you can smell it.
Even if you know for a fact.
Even if you know that the fact that there's something there, if it's no smell, then the halakha is you can keep davening, because it's covered. The issue of Aitzaya is, by the human waste, the issue is covered, but once it's smelled, covering doesn't count. So if it's covered and there's no smell, you're okay. If there's an issue of if it smells, forget about it. Now, it's important to point out. So let me finish the thought. So once there is smell, you're not allowed to continue davening. That constitutes an interruption in your davening. So. Let's say, for argument's sake, Shmon Esrei takes you 5 minutes. Your interruption took you 5 minutes, so you have to start Shmon Esrei again.
If
your interruption takes as long or longer than your Shmon Esrei will take you, that's called you've lost your Shmon Esrei.
So can you talk then? Around the baby?
Yeah.
What?
Could you talk to the baby then?
Well, theoretically, in that situation, you could talk to the baby, because you basically, forget it. This is going to, till you get to, it's going to be one of the, it's very dirty, a lot of cleaning up, and your Shmon Esrei only takes 3 minutes, right? So, you know what's going to be. So Shmon Esrei is gone. So you have to start Shmon Esrei from the beginning again. So you've lost your Shmon Esrei in that situation. Because you can't daven because it's dirty. In any situation where you're choosing not to daven, that's not how long you take doesn't make a difference. The baby's crying, you don't have to answer. You can't daven because it's dirty. Or the child walks in uncovered. So you can't daven when the child is totally uncovered, a boy. So in that situation, since you can't daven, that constitutes an interruption. Again, so that's important to understand. If you could daven, there's noise, whatever, and you're taking care of something, but you really theoretically could continue davening, I don't care how long it takes, it's not an interruption. But a case where it's something which halachically you may not daven, either because it's dirty or because there's a boy is uncovered, So that constitutes an interruption in davening. And it depends how long it is. So whatever your Shemone Esrei takes, if it takes longer than that, I don't care where you are in Shemone Esrei. Lekaina Esrei doesn't count. You finish, once you finish Havavarach, when you say Ba Shalom, you're fine. You know. But till then, right, if you're anywhere in Shemone Esrei, and the interruption takes the time it takes to daven. So if your davening takes you 5 minutes, it takes 5 minutes or more, so that's called interruption of davening. You have to start from the beginning again. Yes?
The necessity to start again is only when the interruption is when the interruption is
halakhically mandated.
It's halakhically mandated. So if it's not halakhically mandated, it's a matter of your own comfort or
right.
someone else's comfort, then the interruption could be
10 minutes, 15 minutes, doesn't make a difference.
It does.
I mean, I wouldn't say halakhila, but you know, I don't care how long you took, you go back to where you were in Shemone Esrei. Yes?
Two quick questions. Number one, if you have said Havarach HaSama Yisrael, and then you change the child, can you still say Elokai after, or you shouldn't even bother to say it?
You know what, I'm not sure about that. I would assume yes, but that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. Yes.
And the second one is, if your child doesn't smell, but you know that they're dirty and they're screaming, should you stop and change them because you know they're dirty? And
That's an interesting question. Yes, and theoretically, if it gets to the point that's bothering you, if, you know, again, it's a minute left, it's Shemone Esrei, let them go, fine. If it's not, you can't concentrate. So now what comes fascinating, because once you uncover them, you can't daven anymore. So then it's an interruption. Right. Yes?
Are you allowed to just breathe through your mouth or not look at your naked son?
Again, give me this. You allowed what?
Are you allowed to just breathe through your mouth, not smell it? Like, okay, you know that you
went. No, the smell is the fact that it's there. Whether even if you have a cold, doesn't help.
No. Right. Or the second part, which is not look at your
son.
If he's facing the different, well, so like this.
Like,
if you're facing different directions, you're good, as long as he's not right next to you. Halavai, right? Of course. Right. Which states is he going to come up that? What's he going to do? He's going to grab your leg. Grab your leg. What else? You know, since when is it going to happen? He's not going to come next to you. Yes?
What about if you have to change a diaper? Do you have to wash your hands again after?
You should wash your hands, yeah.
Okay. Also, and just in general, like at night, I mean,
should you mean you're supposed? I mean, not sure you should, but it's yes. You have to wash your hands.
Washing with soap or netilat yadayim?
Netilat yadayim.
No, not soap. I mean, it's good to do.
Right. No. So washing over there, and washing over there also actually means meeker than one in each hand.
Okay. And then, but what about like if I want to say Shema with my baby at night? This like happens every night, and I just changed her diaper, and now we're doing, you know, bedtime, and I want to, like, say Shema with her. Can I only say it, though, if my hands are washed and, like, there's no diapers in the room? Which is not very often.
If the diapers are covered and there's no smell, and if you wrap them up in a bag and there's no smell, so you're fine. The fact that there's diapers in the room is not a problem.
Okay, and what about, like, my hands being
clean? You know, theoretically, you should wash your hands. Probably in that situation, if you have no other option, you can rely on what's called Nikius. The key is you wipe your hands, every surface of your hand, onto a garment. So, I mean, that includes, like, you know, you have to do like this. It means every surface of the hand would be rubbed.
Okay, like hand
sanitizer? You know, they have the hand, what do you call it?
Sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer really should work.
Okay.
Yeah, should work. At least if you don't have an option of water, if you have water available, you have to use water. But if you don't, you can use hand sanitizer. Yes.
You need to wash for the other tefillos, not only Shema Esrei. Even Shema,
normally, before Shema is an argument that you need to wash your hands. That's a discussion. Before Shema Esrei, you must wash your hands. Everything else, your hands have to be clean. So you know your hands are clean. You don't have to wash. But by Shema Esrei, even if you know your hands are clean, you have to wash. Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I've covered everything. Lo and behold, that's a pillow. Okay. So the last thing that we really touched on in the beginning, those that the three arguments why women would be permitted not to daven. I just want to tell you so our scenarios where, let's say, a woman has different shibudim to her husband, which would woman get it's Erev Shabbos, and she has a chiyuv to light neiros, so she hasn't daven mincha yet. So what do you do over there? So, if it boils down to it's either mincha or halakas neiros takes precedence.
I thought you said that
before the 18
Can you
minutes.
Have in mind so that you're going
to
dive in?
Now, again, if it boils down to it's one or the other, and that's the only option. Halakha's neighbors, because that's part of your sheba to make sure there's neighbors in the house. If you don't, you know, you have more time, so you have a choice like this. You can either light neiris b'tanai, not be makal b'shabbos and daven mincha afterwards. There, you would speak out. I'm not being makal b'shabbos with my halakha's neiris. Light the neiris in the proper time and then daven mincha.
Did you say the brachos when you light them?
Yes, say the brachos. But say I'm not being makal b'shabbos with. And that is the preferred way of doing it, rather than pushing off the time of halakha.
Meaning past the should not go to the
it's preferred not to, yes.
So it's better to do that. It's better to do that. Light and then daven mincha.
Do you have to say I'm going to be mekabel right after mincha, or it's just implied that if I'm not being mekabel?
You should say that, yes. That's interesting. In any situation where a person would make a tanai, the person should afterwards make it. It should either say then, you can speak out now, and after it's necessary, I would mekabel Shabbos, I don't have to repeat, or say then, I mean mekabel Shabbos. There are other scenarios which a woman who's married has different responsibilities, different types of processes that she has to do. If there's going to be a steer between mincha and that processes, she would take those. The processes would take precedence over mincha. It's late in the day. It's right before shkia. She has a choice: she either daven mincha or do what she has to do. She would do what she has to do, not daven mincha in that situation, because that she, but her husband, responsibility to her husband, takes precedence over mincha. I didn't get involved in the case where a person makes a mistake. You know, when do you have to go back, when you don't have to go back? That's maybe other time we'll discuss mistakes during davening, because I'm sure that those are, while you're being very confused, you know, trying to focus on the kid, etc. You know, did I say Rosh Chodesh? Didn't say Rosh Chodesh. Do I have to go back for Rosh Chodesh? What am I supposed to do? What? What is Rosh Chodesh? right. You know, etc. So that'll be a different time. Okay, I've covered my material. Whoever needs to go, any questions?
I'm just still a little confused about, like, if you can daven while, if I need to daven before I eat, is it better for me just to say modani and be like, okay, this is my whatever, and then I'll daven, like, when I get to school, or is it better for me to try and say brachos while doing other things, knowing I'm going to be in trouble and everything?
I would say modani for the yotze with that.
And just be yotze with that, eat, and then do everything at school.
Correct.
Okay.
We have that option.
Okay, so this is along the same lines. I'm waiting for someone from Carpo's to come out and kind of daven for a Torah then. Sitting in the car, and we're just waiting.
Yeah, it's in the car, I think, you know.
I'm not driving.
You're not driving, yeah.
Sitting in a driveway.
Yeah.
Say whatever I can then?
Yeah.
Is yes. there a halacha that you can't daven if you're not coming out to Kavacher?
If you talk about Shwanessa, if you cannot have Kavana for the first paragraph, then you should not daven. If you could, then you would daven, you know, depending on whatever you have available.
And like
what again? Whatever you know, the goal of tefillah is to talk to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, if you have an option of davening later on with more kavona, so you should do that. If you don't, you don't.
You don't know, like
if you don't know, then usually it's you know. If you know your life, it's better to err whichever way your life leads you. If you usually have time later on, so. That's one way. If you usually don't have time later on, then the answer is the other way.
I know, but okay. Let's say I would try to daven Berachos HaShachar in the morning, and if I'm going to have time, I'm going to daven for an Esrei. So, okay, while everyone's sitting around, I'll try to get a Berachos HaShachar, hopefully with some level of Kavana. And then when I'm going to have time, I know that time is going to Shmoneh Esrei, so.
Okay.
That's fine. Even
that's fine.
I don't know if I'm concentrating, but it should happen.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so two quick questions. Number one. Let's say, you know, I am going to have time to daven Shmoneh Esrei in the morning, but I'm like, very hungry when I wake up, and I feel that, like, I'll be able to have much more stress to daven Shmoneh Esrei. Is it okay knowing that I'm going to have time to daven Shmoneh Esrei to do the Chasar Torah,
yes.
eat, and then do Shmoneh Esrei?
Correct. That's the same idea you have with the girls going to school. They would be yotze with some tefillah.
I'm
going to
have time now. I'm going to have time now.
I'm saying...
But if I feel that, it will be...
Yeah, good. Right. If your reality of your day is that, I would say you'd be yotze with that, and then daven Shmoneh Esrei, eat, and then daven Shmoneh Esrei later on.
Okay. Even if I'm gonna, I have before I go out, I'm gonna be able. I have enough time. I'm just physically very hungry and like need
If there's what to say, a person is very hungry to the point they can't concentrate. There's a lot to eat before davening.
Okay, so another thing is nothing in general. Just sitting down with Shmoneh Esrei, meaning you're for whatever reason not feeling well and
sitting. Know, it's supposed to stand.
Sitting, yeah. Is that like really not?
you know, the situation of the person is that you can sit. If you do sit, if a person feels very weak and they feel they need to sit for Shemoneh Esrei, you should stand for the, if you have an option of standing, you should stand for the place that you have to bow.
You should get up in the middle.
Right, get up and bow and then you sit down again.
And what about that in the car? The only time that Shemoneh Esrei is like...
In the car, as you're driving? No, no, no.
You're on a passenger, you're on a trip, and you're going to leave early in the morning.
Right, so you can do the same thing. Right. Okay. So if you can stand up during, then you should stand up. Yes?
What if you intended to daven Shemoneh Esrei and you were interrupted so you weren't able to? Like, I this happened to me. I specifically was going to school 5 minutes early. I was going to be able to daven. My classroom would be quiet. Everything would be fine. I davened Berachos HaTorah, Berachos HaShachar. I got to school and I need to speak to the resource teacher and I kick him into the room. And just, I don't, can't imagine who that resource teacher is. And everything happened, and then lo and behold, I have a whole class of kids and I didn't daven Shemoneh Esrei. And I intended to daven. So was I not, did I not fulfill my obligation of tefillah?
Because you didn't have Kavanah to be Yotzei. That's Tinyu and Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm not getting involved in that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have an option later on, the Damashmanas, you should Damashmanas, right?
Okay.
Yes?
It's really quick. So you wake up and you daven, you wash six times, and right. Then you're going to daven like 10 minutes later. You have to wash your hands again?
As long as you're basically, you're aware your hands have been stayed clean at that point in time, you don't have to. I mean, you're talking about there's a real gap in between. Yes?
So I think this is what you asked, but if, like, how does it work in terms of, right, if normally sometimes, like, I'll say Berachos HaShachar, like, while I'm feeding my baby, because she's happy, and I can just, like, give her stuff, you know, is that something I shouldn't do? Should I not be saying that then? Is it better just not to say it at all, or?
Not nursing, or?
No. Spoon feeding.
Yeah. I'm wondering about, also about nursing, if it's possible. That's her only
question.
Time, also.
I
but I thought that's what you were asking. But
I meant. Okay, let's take two questions. One question at a time.
Sorry.
So, a person should not be doing something while they're saying bracha, is it possible? So, if you mean feed, say a bracha, fine. If you mean no, probably not preferred. Right, that's fine. When a woman would be nursing, a woman would be able to daven. Brachas, you're not. It depends on the situation. There is.
Benching is my question, actually.
Benching?
Yeah, can you bench while nursing?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
Benching standing up
because you're holding a baby.
No,
because you're watching the kids play outside and you are standing by the window and
or holding a baby or whatever.
It's interesting. By benching, it says aloha that you should not have a baby and you're holding a baby while you bench. That's what's brought down aloha. I've only seen one person in my life who was makbid on it.
Does that mean
baby? Burnham's father. I remember I was there once at a time and I had the baby in my lap. I was a guest. Yeah. So not during benching. I said, okay. No.
Does that mean a baby as in like an infant, or that means any child?
It means an infant.
An infant.
Right.
Why? What's the difference between an infant and a child?
Because a child, you're teaching them how to bench.
An infant, your focus is on making sure the kid doesn't drop. The toddler, your focus is that he shouldn't beat you up. You know, it's different. he's not going to drop. He's going to walk wherever he wants. You know, just having the hill on off. You know, that's not, you know. So, but the concern is you're focusing on not dropping the because benching is the derisive. So it has some ways it has the same level of chumrah Shemoneh Esrei. So if you have no option, it's like back to your Shemoneh Esrei situation. If you have no option, you could. If you have an option, which the correct thing should be is, if there's an option, is one parent benches, takes the baby, you know, and then they switch off. That would be the best option. You would answer Mizumin and just the bench later.
Right.
What about a baby carrier where you're not concerned that the baby's going to fall?
Yeah, that would be okay. That's a good point. Yeah.
Does that same apply to
when
you have the baby strapped in?
Yes.
You're not thinking
really,
about
even
it.
They're in front of you?
But you're not diving to them? You're worried about diving to them?
I know she dives
controversial, please.
No, I'm not. We learned about, a few hours in front of you, you're not supposed to have somebody.
Because it's gonna disturb you because there's somebody there. It's not a lock on you. It's a lock on them. It's a lock on them.
Really.
Right. It's not a lock on you. So tell the baby. What are you doing here? It's not gonna. I don't know. You put me here. Let me.
Okay. Yeah, the barrier. If the baby's crying, and you have one of those things, can you walk to get that and put the baby in that? Because you know that
once that would be good. That's fine.
Kind of
awesome.
Touch them, and if you accident, if you really act, not if you push them off, but if you really accidentally, sometimes
I know. So you, if you have time, you daven. Let's say you miss shachar, you daven two minchas. If you miss mincha, so the question was the halacha of tashlumen. So the halacha is Chazal said a person missed the Shemoneh Esrei in the proper time, so you can catch it up the next tefillah time.
But only by accident, right? If you purposely say I don't.
Well, the difference is only by accident, but the idea of I have time. It's called an accident. Oh yeah, I'm sure I have time later on.
If I plan to daven when I get to school,
and then something happens, that's called an accident.
I don't. Then if I have time, I should do two minchas.
Correct.
I should daven against.
Correct. And the same thing by mincha, but you can't catch up the next day. You can't catch up chakras. You do two maras. No.
You just do one mara?
No, you have to do two maras. I tell you a fascinating question, which I don't know the answer to, is, which day does marav count? So I can get a davening in somewhere. So can I say the night before? The kids will sleep. Some kind of night, okay, great. Let's daven now, something. And I was yoitz to my davening for the next day. Some person say yes. Some person say no. And I don't know the final decision on that. I don't have a final decision on that. It's fascinating.
I love people touch lumen. You know you're not going to have, you really should be doing. You just feel you're not going to be able to concentrate properly for two. So just do one. It comes mincha time. And forget even the kids.
Yes, if you can get one in, get one in. You can get two in, get two in.
It's tiring to daven two Shemoneh Esrei, back to back.
It's, whatever you can do. Tashlumin is supposed to be back to back.
It has to be back to back. So that was my question.
There should be a gap of time of minimal time in between. You take three steps back, and then you start over again. But you should give yourself a 5-second break.
But if a child comes in, you finished your first, you missed chakras, so I'm davening two minchas.
Right.
The child walks in, and I need to take care of the issue. Can I still daven that second?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Is there a place where...
Yeah, somebody needs to go. Please, officially we're over. I don't want to keep anybody... Remember who was here, the time that, I told everybody they can go.
Oh, God.
The list. Are you allowed to read it on Shabbos?
Right. Yeah. And I said you guys to go. You guys stayed. So, it's not my fault. Yes.
I don't know. Is there a time where a woman's preference overrides the halachim area? Because it's to be like, not if I want a diamond... certain things, so can I daven that? Because not because of the halacha, but because this is.
If you're Hasidish, yes.
Really?
No, the Hasidim, the women don't daven. They just say tillim the whole day because tillim you can always interrupt. But that's that become the minute with them. They don't daven. They say tillim because that's much easier to deal with.
But tillim is not some rabbanim consider not tefillah.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Yes, in New York area. I mean, you sort of, yeah, there'll be, but there's a window after Shkia.